Good morning and welcome to the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, your usual Tuesday morning show host, and I want to welcome all of our listeners to another beautiful spring day in Sandpoint. Before I introduce our guests this morning, I'll do a quick weather forecast. Weather report. I'm not the forecaster, I'm the reporter. Anyway, it's a great day today, and we're going to have a high of 51, sunny skies. The spring sunny skies are coming, folks, and what that means to me is that it's spring ski weather, and I just love it. Sunny times, corn snow at Schweitzer, and that last little bit of Nordic skiing coming along, too. So we've got to get out and enjoy that, folks. The rest of the week is looking pretty good, but it's not all sunny. We have sunny day tomorrow, Wednesday, with a high around 54. That's going to feel like spring. But then the clouds are coming in, and on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it looks like even into Sunday, we've got a pretty good chance of snow. 70% on Thursday, 90% on Friday, and 60% on Saturday. Highs in the middle 40s and lows in the 30s. So spring is definitely coming, everybody. Well, spring is here, and we have the right topic for talking about spring because we are here with Trout Unlimited. And we are lucky enough this morning to have Trout Unlimited folks who come from the local and also the national perspective. I'd like to introduce them. First is Aaron. Hello, Aaron Plue. And you are the Coeur d'Alene Basin Project Manager. Welcome. Do I have that right?
Yep, that's right. Thanks. Oh,
good, good, good. And our second guest is Walt Gross. And Walt, you are a board member for the local Panhandle chapter of Trout Unlimited, and you've been that for a little while, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, Aaron. Got involved with the chapter when we first moved up here from southeast Idaho.
Yeah, it's been a few years. Yes, you're not the president yet, but we're working on that.
Hey, thanks a lot for the support.
No one wants that job, of course. It's the hardest job, but we're working on Walt. Well, welcome you two, and I'd like you to start by taking just a little bit of time and telling the listeners about yourselves. Aaron, we'll start with you. I'd like to hear about your background, how you got interested in conservation, and how you came to be working for Trout Unlimited.
All right. Well, my background's in freshwater ecology and in education, and I've just always had a drive to work in the outdoors and work with nature, and I have a varied career that brought me to this point. Would take an hour to talk about in itself, but overall, I got into this because I saw an opportunity to kind of bring together all my passions, being outside and working with science, and kind of coordinating a lot of entities and working with people. All brought it all together, so that's how I ended up.
Yeah,
here.
Good. And you're a coordinator, and you're working here locally, but your bosses are back somewhere on the East Coast, I think, yes?
Well, ultimately, yeah, they're in Arlington, Virginia. I do have, like, kind of bosses in Missoula and in Boise as well, so there's some more local,
Yeah, very good. I wasn't sure to whom you report, and it seemed like it's a pretty independent job because there are not so many of the national folks on this side of the Continental Divide, are there?
There are a fair number scattered throughout, from Alaska down to California. Anywhere there's cold water fish, salmon, and trout, there's going to be team members. But for North Idaho, I was the first national position, and I've been in it for about 2.5 years now. So it's growing now. I just posted a position to have another project manager join me in North Idaho. So we can come back to that. And
yes, we will come back to that because I'm sure listeners will be interested in knowing about that opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, Walt, we need to hear about you and how you became, well, first of all, how you made it to Northern Idaho from Southern, and then how you got involved with Trout Unlimited.
Well, I'm a retired Forest Service employee. I came to Idaho as a district ranger in Island Park and then moved into the moved into the supervisor's office as a range staff specialist. And in Southern Idaho, we have a lot of livestock grazing out on the national forest, not so much up here up in the Panhandle, but I was able to work with a lot of grazing operators down in Southern Idaho. And most of my career, which spanned Nevada, Montana, Idaho, and the eastern side of the Sierras in California, was been outdoors, and obviously living at different ranger stations and guard stations and so forth, you have a lot of time to get a line wet. And so obviously I grew up in the outdoors, and it was just part of my life to go fish. And I didn't start out fly fishing or anything of that nature, just a worm on a hook, and kind of took it from there. And if given my career where it was, I've lived in the Big Hole. I've lived down in southeastern Idaho at Henry's Fork and the South Fork of the Snake Rivers. Eastern side of the Sierras is well-known fisheries as well. So I've had a great opportunity to get involved with the Trout Unlimited organization, particularly in southern Idaho where I first started that.
Okay, and then you just carried that on. You were a member with Trout Unlimited down there and involved, and then you stayed involved and came on up here.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I was on a committee down there, and then moved up here and sought out members of the committee up here to see if I could get involved with them on whatever work they were doing, and it worked out that way. So, and here I am, yeah. sitting in your office.
That's right, and we will just mention that while you're a volunteer, as are I think everybody on the local chapters. I don't think there are any.
That's correct. On our board, we have about 350 members or so in our chapter here up in the Panhandle. About half are down in Kootenai County. The other half are up here in Bonner County and surrounding areas. And on our board, there's about 10 of us on there or so. And I forgot what I was going to say for a second.
Volunteers.
We're all volunteers. We're not paid. We do everything out of our own pocket, which is how it works.
Yeah, and it works out. It seems to work out pretty well. And Aaron, your position, is it full-time position?
It is a full-time position, yep, full-time year-round.
Well, very good. Well, with that, I think we'll just launch into what happens throughout Trout Unlimited. And Aaron, I'd like you to give us an idea of how Trout Unlimited is organized. We've obviously got a national chapter and local chapters, and I think listeners would like to know how that all works.
Sure. So Trout Unlimited is kind of multiple pieces of it make it up. And it's the goal of the organization is to protect and enhance habitats for cold water fisheries, so trout and salmon. And I think all the chapters and the national team are all kind of working towards that goal, playing whatever kind of part they elect as being the best way to get there. National teams it's over 300 people at this point in time, and they're all paid employees. And they're working across all of these areas I've talked about previously. There's some staff that are kind of focused on the policy side of things and advocacy. There's staff that are just strictly scientists that are working on developing science to help project managers like me. And then there's a lot of project managers like me that are kind of working on primarily stream restorations projects. So these projects that we start from the beginning where we look for funding and we partner with landowners and develop these projects and help to implement them. It's usually a team of partners. And so I get to work with people working on fisheries all around the region. And And then the chapters are more local grassroots organizations, as Walt talked about a little bit. And they kind of focus on whatever they're excited about. Some chapters are really focused on education. Some chapters hire their own project managers. Some chapters work on, I think they all love to share fishing tips and get out and go fishing, because I think that's where the love for this originates. So, yeah.
I think a lot of the passion for Trout Unlimited, of course, comes from fishing, whether it's trout fishing or another kind. However, I've been reminded of this a number of times that, as you've said already, Aaron, that it is a conservation organization. It's not really considered only a fishing organization. It focuses on conservation.
Yeah, I mean, the theory is, you know, if you improve the habitat, then you can support more wild and native trout and salmon, which is ideal for anglers. You know, fishing for those wild trout is a really exciting sport, and so that's what drives it. And I also wanted—I think there's about 350,000 chapter members across the United States, and I think it continues to grow.
That's a lot. And, you know, having come from Minnesota, I just wanted to make a give a short story. And also, full disclosure, listeners, I am also on the local board here, the Panhandle board. So need to disclose that, or should anyway. But, you know, it's interesting because, and Walt, maybe you'll share this experience too, but I came to Trout Unlimited first just as this sort of like non-participatory person. I paid my annual dues and I got the magazine and I went trout fishing, but I didn't really go to the chapter meetings or, you know, really find myself involved in projects. But then slowly I would read the magazine and read about projects that were happening, get a little interested and think, well, that sounds cool. But I didn't necessarily sign up for anything. And then finally, when I moved to Idaho, I started to meet. I went to an annual meeting and I met some of the members that were active in projects and fishing and signed up for my first little volunteer project. And you know how this goes. Next thing you know, you're going to the meetings and then you're asked to be on the board. And then, you know, it goes from there. But it was a real progression for me from like not really participating at all to now doing my best to fit in where I can fit in. Well, was it like that for you?
Absolutely. Had friends introduce me to some TU members, and I didn't really think much about it until I went to a banquet one time. And then I was always actively involved with other conservation groups, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Trout Unlimited, most recently, and Mule Deer Foundation and things like that. So going to another fundraising banquet for related to conservation efforts was right up my alley. So going to that, just became like yourself, more involved in the local area and what was happening and some of the work they were doing on different projects and participating as a stakeholder with a lot of federal agencies on projects was really right up my alley. And so that's how it worked for me, too. We came to Sandpoint when we were looking to move out of southeastern Idaho. Like I said, it was a great place down there, Henry's Fork, flowing right through the middle of town. We moved up from St. Anthony, South Fork of the Snake River. So right there in that part of the world, you've really got it made when it comes to fishing, and particularly fly fishing. And, at this point, let me deviate for just a second. Trout Unlimited isn't a fly fishing organization. It's they're there. The mission is to help improve and enhance cold water fisheries. And when you start out fishing, you're probably not going to start out fishing with a fly. You're going to start out with something more traditional, spinners, bait casting outfits, something like this. So being a member of TU doesn't mean you have to fly fish. You just have to have a love for a cold water fisheries, no matter what your objective is for angling. So just kind of want to let you know that if you want to be a member of TU and you're not a fly fisherman, we'll certainly take you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to back that up by saying I am actually not an avid angler. I work for TU, but I just love our waterways, and I love the way our projects help amphibians and waterfowl and all of that stuff. The whole ecosystem is kind of what brings my passion out, and just like watching it and being a part of it.
I just saw the glimmer in your eye. You bet. I feel the same way. So it's a good organization to belong to, I think. And we put the money to work on the ground where you can actually go out and see what we do. And a little later in the show, I'll mention some of those projects that we're working on. So
very good. Well, I think what we'll talk about next, if you don't mind, Erin, is for you to talk about some of the projects that you coordinate.
Sure. I'll talk a little bit about what I have hitting the ground this summer. A lot of these projects take years to shape up, to hit the ground. So there's always other projects that you're kind of building, and hopefully they'll come to fruition. But so this summer, I have three construction projects that I'm partnering on, and one of them is a culvert replacement on Dresser Creek. Which Dresser Creek's far up the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene, And it's this culvert is probably undersized, and so it's led to some erosion downstream and caused it to be perched, so raised up. So now fish have the West Slope cutthroat trout down there have not been able to pass over that culvert. So we're going to replace that. It's a Forest Service project. It's on Forest Service land. We're going to replace that with a properly sized culvert, and that'll remove a barrier for fish. So that's one of the things that I kind of focus on, is removing barriers for migration.
Yes, and then I'm just going to sort of interject. It's a part, everything you do is a lot of partnership, right? So U.S. Forest Service is one, but maybe others too. Is
it? Yep.
Yes.
And others. I can mention some of those. Basically, Trout and Lemon doesn't own land, and so all of these projects are happening on somebody's land. And so we're partnering in one way we can bring value to a project, or in another way with these landowners. And it is often the Forest Service, but it's not always.
Yeah.
And then I have two other projects, and they're kind of similar. One's on Pritchard Creek, which feeds into the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene a little farther down. And that's on Idaho Forest Group land. So that's a private landowner. And then there's also one on Red Ives Stream, which is way up the Upper St. Joe. And those, both of those projects are very similar. They involve adding a lot of large wood. So you're basically taking whole trees with the root wads often, and you're placing it in the stream, and this offers a lot of habitat value. If you think about historically, we had these streams we had forests that were dropping logs constantly into these streams, and so you had lots of wood in there, and these fish evolved for that kind of habitat. And we've removed a lot of the wood, and we've also cut a lot of the wood, so there's not like fresh recruital. That word's hard for these logs. And so we add the logs in, they can help stabilize the stream, create islands where you get some vegetation growing on it. We always add vegetation too to help encourage that, and get stream bank vegetation, which is beneficial for all of these organisms. And then it can also help create pools. A lot of our streams, you'll see, they just become like long riffles. They don't have a lot of different diversity in the habitat, and fish love that diversity. They also love having things blocking them from seeing each other. So throwing in all those logs, like, it's kind of like a wall, so they can live right next to their neighbor without getting annoyed with them. And
And tell us, if you would, a little more about Pritchard Creek. It's got kind of an interesting history, doesn't it? I mean, it was really a damaged little creek.
Yeah, it is.
It still is.
So this is phase one of restoring Pritchard Creek. Pritchard Creek was mined, had hard rock mines all around it, and then it also had a floating dredge, which were these huge, like, four-story kind of boats that dredged up down to 25 feet down through the floodplain for whole 5 miles of that creek. And so you've got these like mounds for 30 miles or for 5 miles of rock, and it's caused the stream to flow subsurface for it's like every year it seems to be growing, like 6 months out of the year it's flowing subsurface in that section. So this phase one is the bottom section, which is below the dredge section, and we're going to create like better habitat for those fish, because as you can imagine, there's just a ton of rock coming down every year out of those dredge piles. And so this will help stabilize some of that and create better bug habitat and fish habitat. And then in the outgoing years, we're devising our plan right now for how to tackle such a complex section. There's also some contamination, some heavy metals contamination as you work your way upstream. So we have to factor that in. And it's a complex project, and it's really exciting to work on. And honestly, we've been in formation for 6 years to even hit this point where we're finally digging this year.
So yeah, amazing. And it flows into, is it the Coeur d'Alene? Is that
where it flows into the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's kind of near the snake pit up there. No, it's not quite near the snake pit. It's upstream from there even.
It's Murray up. Is alongside Pritchard Creek. So if you've ever been to the town of Murray, it's a cool, historic little mining town. Pritchard Creek's worth a visit. For everybody out there. It's a really interesting place with a really interesting history.
And it looks a little weird because of all that rock. I've been up there and you look at it and it's just weird. And then the fact that it's flowing subsurface part of the year, I mean, that's kind of an odd way for a creek to be living. And the goal is for it to become more of it to become on the surface. Is that a goal?
Yeah, I mean, that was the initial goal, for sure. We're better understanding how complex that's going to be, and I don't think that the whole team, because this is a team that also involves Department of Environmental Quality is a major partner with Idaho Forest Group and Trout Unlimited, and then lots of other partners as well. But trying to come, the major funder is called the Restoration Partnership, and bringing all these folks along to help decide what we want to do, because there's costs involved in that. There's complexity. There's risk of failure. So we have to weigh all these things out, and we're kind of beginning that process right now to decide what we want to do. We would ideally love to have it back up on the surface year-round, but not at the cost of water temperatures. So if that actually was going to warm up the water temperatures, that would be a detriment to the whole North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene and to the rest of that system. So we'd love to have water flowing on the surface, but there might be gains in having more flow more times of the year and for a longer distance. We haven't decided yet.
It's complicated. I can hear that. Very complicated.
It is.
Project. All right. Well, let's talk more about the third project.
Oh, so
Red Ives, I think.
Red Ives. So Red Ives is it's a little bit simpler. Red Ives, 2 years ago, we took a dam out of Red Ives Creek up there with the Forest Service, and that was really exciting. There is, if you guys don't know, there's bull trout on the Coeur d'Alene system, but only left spawning up in the upper St. Joe, and there's not many of them. And so counting reds, which are their like nests, we were excited to see right after the dam removal a couple of these reds right upstream of the dam removal. And so this year we're coming back in to kind of enhance the whole stretch where that dam was with a whole lot of wood. So we're just adding a ton of logs in there. And there's just a history of mining and logging up there, which has left it depleted of wood. And you don't see a lot of variety in the habitat there for fish. So the wood placement should encourage some variety, some interconnection. We like it when streams go over, fish like it when streams go over their banks every year and connect with the floodplain. It helps store cold water for longer into the summer season. It also encourages that off-channel habitat where a lot of little fish really like to be. And so this project will do a little bit of that. And that's true on Pritchard Creek, too. The aim is to kind of reconnect with the floodplain, which is a common goal of these projects.
Yeah, good. And help the little guys get going. Help all those small trout get started. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a song break shortly, but I don't know if Walt might have anything he'd like to add before we do that.
I do. Just a couple of... I want to listen to some of the music, too. And... just a couple things. Pritchard Creek, if you haven't been up there, I'd encourage folks to go up and take a look at that drainage right now and see for themselves what it looks like. It's a very complex project that's being undertaken there on private land with the help of Idaho Forest Group. And it's taken a long time to even to get to this step. It's going to take even a little longer by the time you get to work in there. And like I said, it's a very complex issue, and that is in our home waters. It's in our area here that we go to and fish. I avidly fish the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene personally. There's a lot of people that use that water in the summer for floating, fishing, just getting out and picnicking and things like this. So I encourage folks to take a look at it. There's also a really cool tavern there. You can get some food and a cold beer if that's kind of what you're into at the tavern there. And also, one of the projects TU was involved with on the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene is there's a boat ramp that we just got functional here. We partnered with Idaho Fish and Game on that a couple of years ago. It's above the Snake Pit restaurant. It's in that section in through there, so where you can take your boat and either put it in there and float lower or take it out there if you put in higher. So just a couple little things on the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, what a nice improvement. More boat put-ins are nice, aren't they? More opportunities for fishing, for sure. Well, we are going to take a short song break, and then we're going to come back and course, talk further with Aaron and also hear what Walt has been up to with the local chapter of Trout Unlimited. If you're just joining us, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, your morning show host, and we're going to go to a fun song break. And what we're going to go ahead and take a listen to is, well, it's a song folks may have heard before, but if you haven't, you're really going to enjoy it. It's a locally produced song. I think it was made just for the Panhandle chapter of Trout Unlimited. It's the Whiz Pop. Well, isn't that a great song for a trout organization or a conservation organization? That was the Whiz Pops singing the Bull Trout song, and that was for kids to understand what's happening with bull trout and conservation, and it's just kind of a catchy tune. For those of you just joining us, this is KRFY, Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine here on the morning show, and I'm joined today by a couple of areas of Trout Unlimited. We've got Erin Plue, who works for the national chapter, and she is the Coeur d'Alene Basin Project Manager. And of course, Walt Groves, who's a board member for our local Trout Unlimited chapter. And before we move on to you, Walt, we're just going to ask Erin to tell us a little more about the job position that's going to be coming up.
Sure. So we just created a new position for our area for North Idaho, and it would kind of be, we'd be sharing the same region, and it would be another full-time project manager, ideally. So you'd be working on stream restoration projects throughout North Idaho. I would love to have somebody who focused on the Upper St. Joe and the St. Mary's system, and then also kind of share the Coeur d'Alene system itself. And then we also, I've been working, picking up work up in our area on the Pend'Oreille system and the Priest system. So it would be kind of shared in there. I don't know that we have defined exactly where you need to be working on which drainages, but I will be posting it soon. It's not posted out into the world, so but you can contact me in the meantime through my email if you have an interest in it, or if you know, if you'd like to learn more about it.
And what is your email?
My email is Erin, E-R-I-N dot Plue, P like pop, L-U-E, at T-U dot org.
Okay, erin.plue at T-U dot org. All right, listeners, if you're interested in that kind of work, boy, it sounds exciting. This is an upcoming opportunity. All right, well, let's move on to what's happening locally. Walt, why don't you give us an idea of what our local chapter has been up to?
Thank you, you bet. I'll just start out with the most recent event we held. It was just the other night here in town at the Panada. It's the Fly Fishing Film Festival, and it was quite a success. We had not quite a packed house in the Panada. There was maybe three quarters plus full, and this is our fundraiser. A couple of years ago, we used to do banquets, but we found that that wasn't quite working out well for us up here, so we moved on to fundraising and partnering to get fly fishing film up here. That's been pretty good success for all of us. And North 40 is a large participant in that for us. I just can't thank them enough for the donations they provided, for the help they provided, for the personnel, for everything. Their knowledgeable staff there knows quite a bit about fishing the local waters and things like this, so they can definitely give you a hand if you're looking for some information on where to go fishing, fly fishing and otherwise. They're pretty experienced in that. But North 40 did a great job. So that's what we did just the other day. And in addition to that is an organization called the Mayfly Project. And part of the proceeds from the film festival will go to that organization. And if you're not familiar with the Mayfly Project, just briefly, you can go online and type in Mayfly Project, and they're a 501c organization, just like Trout Unlimited. And basically what they do is they mentor foster children through fly fishing. And I'm going to read this here, just if you bear with me here for just a minute. But the Mayfly Project's a 501c national organization that uses fly fishing as a catalyst to mentor and support children in foster care. The mission of the Mayfly Project is to support children in foster care through fly fishing and introduce them to their local water ecosystems with the hope that connecting them to a rewarding hobby will provide an opportunity for foster children to have fun, build confidence, and develop a meaningful connection with the outdoors.
Wow.
So quite a mouthful, but they also do a great job with children that are in that environment. So part of our money goes to that. Some of the other projects that our local chapter has been involved with is we've done habitat work in the local area. The biggest one that comes to mind is up in Hughes Creek. A couple of years ago, we went up and planted willows along part of that stretch up there.
And let's talk about where is Hughes Creek, because it's a ways up there. It's north.
Hughes Creek is way north. It's almost into Canada, and it butts on the Washington state line. Back in the day, during World War II, there was actually an airstrip on that stretch of meadows up there. You wouldn't believe it today if you went up there. It is behind a lock gate. It's behind a Forest Service lock gate. So to get in there, you're going to have to walk or some other way to get into that place. And what we did was we went in, and the stream system had been altered. We went in and worked with USGS and the tribe to restore parts of that stream reach up through there. And lo and behold, we went back to check and see how our work had done, and there's fish in there. It's recovering, and just a pretty good piece of local work that we was able to accomplish through it there.
I think so. And if I may I add, I was there for at least one of the day projects as a volunteer, and we had Forest Service representative, but who was it? It wasn't Eric, was it? It was somebody.
Yeah. No, but I can't recall. It was one of the hydrologists at a local office.
Yes.
And I'm just going to talk about that for a minute. You mentioned earlier, Trout Unlimited does not own any land. I think Aaron mentioned that. And that's true. What we do is we partner as a stakeholder with local entities, particularly in Idaho. It's either going to be Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service, could be the Park Service, it could be Fish and Wildlife Service. So we partner with different government agencies typically on stream restoration and enhancement projects. And basically the expertise for the project comes from the agencies. They have the know-how. They have the fish biologists, they have the hydrologists, they have all of the people that they need to do to help make a decision on rehabbing lands like in Pritchard Creek that have been degraded over time through some sort of activity or a natural disaster or something like that. So we worked with them on this, and the tribe and the USGS were big stakeholders in that as well. So that I think was a pretty good success. Didn't cost any money, just some of our time and a bologna sandwich and a soda afterwards.
So I remember some donuts, Walt.
And some donuts.
Some good donuts.
And there was coffee. There was coffee in the morning.
That too. So. Well, if I may, I'm going to add that as we know, Trout Unlimited is not just about fishing. And there was quite a bit of comment on how this was going to help hopefully diversify wildlife. And I remember either the forester or the hydrologist talking about fact that it could be grizzly habitat, and that the changes we were making might really add to that possibility too.
That's quite true. When you look at a stream project, a riparian zone, and all of the adjacent lands to that, the health and function of that entire system enhances things that live there, and fish is one of them. Wildlife is another one of them. Everything from the vegetation to the health and function of the stream to flood control, all of these things work together to make our systems a whole lot better. So if you have a project designed to improve cold water fish habitat, like trout, for example, then that's obviously going to have a spinoff to other things as well. trout in some areas are particularly bull trout, and I'll talk about that in a minute. They're an indicator species of what is happening in an entire ecosystem. So the thing is, if we can improve habitat for bull trout, for example, there's other things that are going to be improved along the way.
Yeah, so, great. What a great explanation. It's all connected. It sure is. Good job.
Another project we worked on, if you're heading towards Clark Fork, take a drive up Trestle Creek, and you'll see a kiosk there. We partnered with Avista and Idaho Fish and Game. There's information board there on bull trout spawning. That just became fully functional, I think, last year. And we've had some field tours up there. That's kind of, I think if you go up Trestle Creek, if you don't go as far as the fire station, if you've gone that far, you've gone too far. It's below that. But there's a parking lot. I believe there's a restroom there. There's a trailhead kiosk thing. And that's an important trout or important bull trout spawning area. So there's some great information on that. A lot of the signs you see up here in the panhandle about bull trout were partially funded with TU money, Avista Power Company money, and Idaho Fish and Game money. So we work with other partners to make our dollars go a little further. So that's kind of a pretty nice little stop up through there.
It sure is. And if you don't mind, I'll interject with a couple of comments about it. One is that I know that maybe a year or two prior, Fish and Game had done some work on Trestle Creek in order to try and improve its complexity. As Aaron was talking about, it seems like it's a lot of times a project of throwing wood in. And they were adding wood and noticing the results, trying to make more complexity, change some of those areas where it was shallow riffles and that sort of thing. And so that was done. And then TU, along with Fish and Game, created this great place to view what's going on. And I just love it that it's going to put a project that hopefully improved Trestle Creek together with a really great informational setting.
Oh, you bet, Julie. And it's a great place to take young children up there. You can see those orange fish running up the stream and making their way up to spawn. So it's a great place to actually see what we've done right there and how it works.
Yeah, that's great. Worth a visit.
Another thing, not so much, but a project we work with Casting for Recovery for our veterans in the area that maybe haven't had a great opportunity to get out and fish. Some of our members have worked with those people. We've done floats down the Kootenai River with them. I participated in that one time. One of our other board members set that up, and that was just a lot of fun to get with these people that have done such a service. So we do Casting for Recovery when we're asked to help. So that's another project we work with. One of the biggest things that we do is we work with the bull trout issues, in that we have a person that we work with that's funded through their wages come through a I'm not quite exactly looking for the term here, but it's paid for by non-TU money to work with bull trout restoration and enhancement here in the panhandle. And the bull trout coordinator came about as a result of an agreement with the power companies on restoration for bull trout habitat that's been disrupted over time due to utilities and things like this. So part of that settlement money we acquired and we put it to work with a bull trout coordinator. And her job right now is to work with Idaho Fish and Game. We partnered on a trailer, an information trailer for bull trout that's going to be towed around to different events here up in the panhandle. We have a whole list of those set up for the summer. It's also going to go to the different schools in the area where we'll work with education on fisheries and things like that. So that's been a big project for us. And if you're looking for some information on that, just kind of go online, find out about bull trout, and see what's happening in the local area. There is some information on our TU website about it. And I'm going to talk. Let me talk about our TU website for a minute. It's in a little bit of a disarray right now. We had a pretty good website before pandemic hit, and then when that hit, everything seemed to crumble all around us, as it did for many things. So we're working hard now at getting our website back up where it should be, so that we can reach out to our committee members and also our chapter members, and just kind of let folks know what's going on there. If you click on that thing, if you just type in Trout Unlimited, it'll come right up to the national, you know, way to get to the national headquarters. It'll also come up to the Panhandle chapter, and you can go in there and kind of see what we're about, who we are. It'll give you the name of president and vice president, folks like that, and you can kind of see some of the projects we've worked on in the past. The ones I've just mentioned aren't in there. It's not that updated. We just need to work on that. But if you would like to contact the local chapter, I'm going to give you an address, a snail mail address.
Oh, an actual address?
An actual address. You'll have to put a stamp on it.
Okay.
This is the best way to get in touch with us. But if you just address it to Trout Unlimited, P.O. Box 936, Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864, we do pick up our mail. And we'll get back to you on that, and hopefully answer your questions or help you get pointed in the right direction for whatever concerns you may have.
Yeah. What about a phone number? Is there any member that we can call that might be good?
I have my phone number. I guess I could give you that, and then I can try to help you with that. It's 208-315-0045. You can call that, and hopefully I can help you myself. And
sure.
You can
at least get folks sorted out to where they might need to get to if they've got some questions.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You bet.
Good.
You bet.
And a website to come, so listeners know that's in progress.
Yeah, and a website to come. We're really hoping we can get that taken care of and wrapped up here in the next couple, 3 or 4 months or so. What happens to our board is when June comes around, you're not going to find us. We're going to be out fishing. We're going to be away. We're going to be taking ourselves out into the woods and everywhere to kind of take everything in, because summertime is really a fun place to be in Idaho, particularly the Panhandle. So you're not going to find us in the area in June, and we don't really have any meetings scheduled in because folks are busy doing other things with family and friends or whatnot. So
So it makes sense that it's sort of a summertime lull. But Erin, you're still working.
I'm still working.
Erin's full time. She's got to go to work.
I'm in the field, which is fun.
That's right.
Well, I wanted to.
Yes, you go ahead.
I want to mention one more project that Walt and I have been kind of partnering on, that's been in the making for some time, and is a little different than the construction projects that I'm typically working on. And that's the formation of a group called the Priest River Watershed Group. And this group is a community group of stakeholders all involved in the Priest River Watershed, which includes Priest Lake down to the mouth of the Priest, where it enters Pendere River. And if you're not familiar with it, the lower Priest River from the lake down is in pretty poor shape. And some years we're reaching temperatures in the 80s on that river, which is not cold water habitat. And it's caused in 2021 some major fish kills. And we also get very low flows some years. And although there's been solutions looked at to help this stretch of river, and there's issues beyond the temperature and the flow concerns as well, there's not been anything that has been successfully implemented, and a lot of that is because there's so many diverse needs along that system, and there's competing desires and values. So to move forward, we thought the best way to kind of move forward was try to get all the stakeholders in the room and come to some consensus about what are some pathways forward for us to benefit this river, which we all care about. And so I'm one of the stakeholders on that group, along with Walt. So we're kind of sharing this position on that group. And the group is always looking for more involvement. There's a steering committee, which me and Walt sit on, but then there's also just the Greater Watershed Group, which is just anybody who's interested. And once again, you can email me if you're interested in learning about the Peace River and following along. A lot of our education about the river will be open to the public to join webinars, and it's a critical issue right now, and the Peace River needs us to pay some attention to it. So, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about it, Walt.
Or... Sure. I'll chime in for just a second, kind of build on what you said. The role of the local chapter in the steering committee is in the past, we've participated at gathering data on that river. We've floated down that system and taken water temperature samples. We've floated down there and basically drag a submerged thermometer through there, through all of the sections from the dam clear down to the mud hole, to the outlet. So we're gathering this data and then giving the data to the appropriate agency for them to analyze it, take a look at it, and see what maybe temperature's effect on the local fisheries are, and things like that. So we're in the data gathering stage right now. And as far as the steering committee group is concerned, it's a group of, like you say, local stakeholders. We all have a vested interest in the health and function of that system. And those are very varied, diverse opinions on what we can do and how we should do it and things like that. So right now, we're just in the getting to know each other stage. We're sharing information, working on a mission statement. And I believe the next meeting is we're going to be able to hear from some of the experts in the different fields that are associated with that system up there. So we're still in the infant stages of the steering committee, and very excited about moving forward with it and see kind of where it takes us.
Yes, and it's certainly, you know, been a topic of high interest for, of course, people around Peace River, the river, and the lake. So we'll all be looking forward to hearing more about what's happening there and the information, scientific information that's going to be coming in that will hopefully, you know, steer decisions that get made into the future. A lot to look forward to on that. Well, as we come to an end of a very interesting interview, I'll just ask you both if there's anything you'd like to add and maybe supply your contact information one more time.
The only thing I have to add is I did some ice fishing on Kokalala this year, and I didn't do very well at all. So if I could get some advice on how to catch a fish through that hole out there, it's a little late this year, but it was horrible for me, but I had a great time out there on the ice with friends and that kind of thing. So
yeah, well, while we're putting our wish list together, I'd like some information on how to catch a great big northern pike in the springtime in Lake Pondere. And what else are we wishing for?
Yeah, Walt? When you get that information, share that with me too, would you? I haven't got that figured out either.
Oh, darn it. Aaron, what are you wishing for?
Well, in preparing for this, Julie had asked us a question about what's our favorite part of kind of our jobs and our roles. And I really got into thinking about this and what I love about this work. And it's primarily just helping the system be preserved for my kids. And I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, we want to keep these waters fishable and keep them productive with all the same wildlife that exists here now, so that our future generations can all enjoy that and connect to it. So I wanted to share that, and nice. I'll share my email again. You can reach me at Erin, erin.plue at tu.org. Thank you.
And I'll share our mailing address one more time. Trout Unlimited, P.O. Box 933, Sandpoint, 83864.
All right. And Walt, one last thing. You didn't share what really gets you going. It's not ice fishing, apparently, but I know you've been getting your grandkids out. And are those kids fishing kids, or are they just skiing kids?
No, they're getting into fishing. The grandkids down in, we have 10, and we have four down in Southeast Idaho, three up here in Coeur d'Alene, and a brand new newborn we're going to go see this week over in the Seattle area. So the kids down in Southeast Idaho, they fish better than me. They're already the oldest is 12. He's tying flies, and he's a pretty good fly caster. His younger sister seems to outfish him all the time. So it's a fishing family down through there. Up here, I was able to get out one of our granddaughters here for the first time fishing, and was over at Garfield Bay fishing off the dock over there, and she caught her first fish, and I thought that little girl was just going to fall in the lake. She was so darn happy. So, yeah, the kids are they're growing up fishing. You bet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good. They're our future, so we want to get them going. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up what's been a very interesting morning interview. It's been Trout Unlimited with Aaron Plew from the National Chapter, and Walt Groves here from the local Panhandle Chapter of Trout Unlimited. Thank you for joining KRFY Morning Show, and everybody have a great week. Out with another fun song, and this one's going to be Taj Mahal with the Fishin' Blues.